Welcome to the Inner Trends Podcast. Welcome to the future of mobility. Simply stay on track. Hello and welcome to our brand new episode of the Inner Trends Podcast. Today we have Via as our guest, Chris Snyder, CEO, and we will talk about different ways to access mobility, actually. But beforehand, as usual, I welcome on show Kerstin Schulz. Kerstin, welcome.
Hi, Tim. How are you today?
It's still summertime. It's still sunny, so I can't complain, actually. But let us start with our topic today. And it is, frankly, a topic many people don't think of, but it is dearly necessary.
What is it?
We're talking about what is it? What is it? Any guess from the audience? No, we can't do that at a podcast. But Kerstin, what is like the most common question actually from people when they are on the InnoTrans website?
Yeah, they are looking how to go to the fairground.
Yeah, what's the access to the fairground? Quite easy, isn't
yeah,
it?
But actually, when you arrive at the airport, there it's very easy. There are hostess, and they show you the way to the shuttle bus. You enter the shuttle bus, and then you go directly to the fairground. And there are even more shuttle buses. They take you to the airport, or there's a shuttle bus around
fairground. You visit the fairground before. You're not going to from the airport to the fairground with the shuttle bus back to
It depends on. Some people go to the hotel. Some people go to the fairground.
And I'm that kind of person. I'm a bit lost in not in translation, but in orientation. So is it complicated to actually find the fairground?
No, the fairground is in the center of Berlin. And as I said, there are shuttle buses, there's public transport. And if you buy your ticket online before, you can use the ticket as a ticket for the public transport. So the transport in Berlin is for free.
That's a real treat, actually. And we're just talking about transport. So Berlin is German-wide. Quite known for their local transport company, but at InnoTrans there's a huge get together actually from public transport companies from all over the world. You just mentioned before a brand new one, and that's quite funny because I never thought of that really lovely island to have a public transport company. I never thought of it, but maybe you mentioned the brand new InnoTrans public transport company.
Yeah, Metro Tenerife. They are a new exhibitor from Tenerife, and there are even more transport companies exhibiting. Most of the visitors are from transport companies from all over the world, and they exhibit as well on InnoTrans. And just to mention in a few names, like China Railway, Ferrovia dello Stato from Italy, of course, Deutsche Bahn, then the Hungarian transport company, ÖBB, it's the Austrian one, then Russian Railways, Saudi Railway Company, TGDD from Turkey. So it's really colorful at InnoTrans.
Colorful indeed. No, but I think it's really interesting because all of the companies are from different countries, as we just mentioned, and they all have different challenges, but in that also the same challenges, like digitization at the moment is quite quite a huge topic, a topic we will also discuss with Chris Snyder. So Kerstin, I think this is it. We just learned that it's hard not to get to the fairground actually when you're planning to come to InnoTrans, so it must be really complicated not to to find these shuttle buses.
Yes
that was so clear. There's no complaint. That was mind-blowing. Kidding. Kerstin, thank you for our talk, and we are now ready for Chris Snyder, who's also kind of keen about transport.
Yeah, have fun with Chris.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So now we're here with a company that is reshaping public transit from a rigid system of fixed routes and schedule to a fully dynamic network. Their technology pairs the best of public transportation with the convenience of a private car. Therefore, they use algorithms to take people where they need to go in the quickest, most affordable, and environmentally responsible way possible. And I'm here with their CEO. Welcome, Chris Snyder. Nice to have you on the show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we just mentioned so many really interesting items about mobility, but as usual, we always start with our InnoTrans intro question. And Chris, would you rather live in the ocean or on the moon?
I say both sound pretty terrible. In the one case, you're crushed under water in an inhospitable place where you can't breathe. In the other case, you are, alone in the vacuum of space. Also sounds pretty bad. Yes, I think I might, given the choice, they're both bad, I would take the room with the view.
But a nice view, maybe. So the moon taxi, maybe, or the moon ride, maybe, yeah, moon ride.
Yeah, that's maybe the way to get there, right? Not sure those are the guys I'd want to hang out with, but sure, why not?
Indeed. Let's do the Milky Way connections. No, but... second question, let's be a bit more human-like. Would you rather live without heat and AC, or would you live without social media?
So I'm an oddball, but I almost entirely live already without social media. I think
really
LinkedIn is the one thing I do relatively poorly. So this one's easy. I'll take the heat. I'll take the AC. And that sounds pretty good to me.
Convenient, but wow. So just LinkedIn. Okay, that's good to know. When I showed that question, I had to think like 3 minutes before deciding to enjoy the heat in the wintertime more than Instagram or any other. So the next question, let's get a bit more personal. If you could choose any person from history to be your imaginary friend, who would it be and why?
First of all, I already have an imaginary friend, so it'd be tough to say goodbye to them. But I like that this question isn't about, who would you have dinner with, right? I mean, I don't know, how much are you going to find out about, Jesus or Homer at dinner? Are you going to find out that they chew with their mouth open, I guess, maybe. But, I don't know, we're looking for somebody who's going to be a friend across my life and whisper in my ear. I think...
I thought of Bob Dylan, actually.
It's a hard one. So I'll tell you some, from my personal life, I think if I had another life to live, I would have loved to be a composer of film music. I've always loved kind of how music can add emotion or meaning to movies. And my big hero here is John Williams, who obviously is still alive, but obviously a legend also.
He did Star Wars and Harry Potter.
Jurassic Park, Harry Potter, Star Wars, so much more. So I think it'd be really neat if he... maybe he's got a piano and he can give me my own private soundtrack to my life. I think that'd be pretty incredible.
That is indeed even smart. I thought a long time too, and I said maybe Bob Dylan, because he would always have a nice word to say. You maybe don't know what he actually means, but it would be like, oh, okay, that is a thought you could think of. But I guess, yeah, like a nice sound in the ear from a friend. Maybe he's just sitting on some kind of little keyboard to piano and playing some melodies that makes your day easier. Yeah, that sounds really splendid. But yeah, it makes, maybe it's also good for your work life if you always have some nice melody playing along while working, and that's your imaginary friend, so it's like in your mind. But yeah,
exactly.
Oh God! Black coffee, please. Okay, no. But let's come to the last InnoTrans intro question here. Imagine you can have an unlimited supply of one thing for the rest of your life. What is it?
So the way things are going with climate change, I'm tempted to say, sun lotion or sunblock. But maybe that's a little too boring. I guess what the other place my mind goes is, I have two young boys, they're 2 and 6, and they're amazing in so many ways. But one thing that I always kind of blows me away is the fact that they have this boundless energy. They're just so happy to be awake and alive, and they're not self-conscious about it at all. And I think if I could bottle up that energy that they have, I think it would make me better at almost everything that I do. So that, you know, that childlike enthusiasm and energy, I think that'd be pretty special.
That's indeed a really smart answer. Never would have thought of that, to be honest. I have two kids on my own, but never thought of that. That's really inspiring. And it also would be kind of maybe useful for your company and you as a person who's like not going the paths who are already there, so trying to find new paths of transport and mobility. So let us start with our question. EVs and AVs both have the potential to significantly alter transport. Which will have a greater impact, and what is VIA doing to prepare for each?
It's a big question. You're asking me to tell the future. I mean, I guess what I would say is, we've been hearing about EVs and AVs for years now, and I think each has the potential to have a pretty significant impact. I'll tell you what I think in a second, but just to start with EVs, transport is the single biggest contributor to greenhouse gases in the United States. It's, I think, approaching the same status in Europe. Our business model is to partner with public transport companies, with cities, with private operators, and we've seen a huge increase in the level of interest in launching new on-demand services with EVs. We have over 20 launched now, 12 of which are fully electric, and this trend is definitely accelerating, whether you're in Berlin or Sacramento in California. We've invested a lot of technology here to connect to the vehicle batteries, to read the charge out, to feed that into our algorithms, to make sure that vehicles are being intelligently routed to charging tasks in a way that makes the system more efficient. There are some real challenges here, right? Why do we have to do that? Well, the hardware is not yet perfect, right? Batteries have limited charge. We're only now getting to the point where vehicles just barely have enough charge to last an entire driver shift. So, on the one hand, huge potential to reduce greenhouse gas emissions locally, but of course, it costs a lot of energy and it takes a huge amount of emissions to create an EV. And then you got to make sure that the power for that EV is coming from green sources. So, it's in and of itself is not kind of the silver bullet solution. AVs, on the other hand, obviously have a big potential to transform parts of urban transport. And I think that this potential is in their ability to serve some real purpose, right? Filling gaps in the existing public transport, like first and last mile connections. Our strategy here has not been to build AVs. We obviously are not doing anything to build AVs. So getting an AV to drive itself is a hard problem. And a lot of companies are trying to solve it. It turns out to be much harder than we thought, I think. I think realistically, we're years away from seeing AVs and complete AV systems on our streets.
May I interrupt you? Because please. I always wonder, Chris, you're in the field of business for quite a while, let's say. How far is the state of progress? So we always speak about software and about algorithms, and I guess you guys have a vision, something you want to achieve at some point of level. So how far actually is the progress at the moment? Are you satisfied at the moment, or are there some heavy bugs in that kind of field?
So I think if you look at if you look at the investment that vehicle manufacturers are putting into EVs right now, which is massive, I think within the next 5 years, we'll see significant advances. We're owning an EV.
Indeed, yeah.
Can be as easy in a sense as owning a car. I think the challenge is not how do you make it easier for individuals to own EVs or even AVs, but how do we incorporate them into public transport, right? Which is where we need to be. In the end, right? Neither of these technologies is a silver bullet, right? I think the most impactful thing we can do is to ensure that more of our trips are shared.
So right? Good point.
As opposed to in an AV or in an EV. I think the biggest challenge we have with EVs is just the hardware, the batteries, battery life. With AVs, I think we have a long road ahead of us, and I think the cities that are smartest are starting to phase in AVs as part of a broader network. So Arlington, Texas, for instance, is using a $1.7 million FTA grant to include 5 AVs into a 70 vehicle service that we use our technology to operate, and using them for the parts that make sense, or that where AVs can currently actually be impactful, but not worrying too much about the rest of the service, which is still, you know, normally driven vehicles. I think those hybrid fleets are going to be with us for a long time.
As we just spoke about, there's been a lot written about the potential of the feeder for the last and the first and the last mile service. In practice, are these on-demand feeder services effective?
Absolutely. Cities are making large investments in commuter rail and intercity rail travel, but often the suburban and rural communities that they serve, that they pass through, don't have great transit networks that allow people who live there to easily access those rail connections. I'll give you 2 examples of places where I think that these services are mature and are working quite well. One is in Seattle, in the United States. King County Metro is our partner there. We launched with them a service in 2019, which was intended to provide first and last mile service to a commuter rail for 6 low-income communities. It's been expanded 2 times since then, basically every year, largely because it's proven to be very successful. It serves, you know, if you imagine these are 6 or 7 seater vehicles, they're serving 15 people an hour, right? So they're making multiple trips, all full, in these communities that would not be very well served by fixed route bus. These are, you know, suburban residential communities. So that's become essentially a core part of the transit network for Seattle, which is quite exciting. There's another example in Doha. In 2019, the Doha Metro system launched, and Qatar Rail asked us to help them launch a feeder service called Metro Express to ensure that key neighborhoods and employment hubs were well connected to the metro. Right, this is a big behavioral change problem, and the results have also been excellent. So, you know, actually even better in a sense than Seattle, well over 15 passengers per hour using this. The service in peak times, and this per vehicle, obviously. It's on demand, so it connects you in a very kind of seamless way to the metro. It expanded from 2 stations initially to now 11. The area has grown, I think, about 6 times. So it's proven to be quite successful. And again, there too, also kind of not just a novelty, but actually a core part of how the metro serves those communities.
It's like the perfect word. We speak a lot about on-demand transport, or micro transit, actually all over the world. It has become fairly mainstream, also here in Europe, but also in the US. So what do you see as the next frontier actually for the technology-driven public transport?
Yeah, well, you know, maybe to talk about the next step, maybe we first should talk about the first step. The first step maybe over the last 5 years was, you know, I don't know, microtransit 1.0, and you saw these pilots where these on-demand systems were sort of set apart or bolted on in a way to the existing public transport network. And I think what we're seeing increasingly, and is certainly, I think, the next frontier, is what we call integrated mobility systems, where these on-demand networks or systems are actually fully integrated into the public transport network from a planning perspective, from an operations perspective, and then from an optimization perspective. So, you know, that includes multimodal and intermodal trip planning, right? So the app, right, the one app should show you how you can take a trip that includes both an on-demand component and a fixed route component. It should allow you to pay for that trip using one payment method. You know, ideally, it's the public transport
so
payment
don't
method
need
that you
20
already
apps
have,
anymore
the subscription card that you already have. And we're seeing increased adoption of this type of an approach. But there's another type of integration, which I think is also very exciting, where we see the different elements of the mobility ecosystem, which have been siloed historically, and maybe, you know, frankly, underinvested from a technology point of view. You can think about paratransit. You could think about school bus systems. You could think about non-emergency medical systems, medical transport systems, are now starting to become integrated across one digital platform. And that we're doing this with a number of our partners. There's Golden Empire Transport in Bakersfield. There's quite a number. And then, of course, is the fixed route system, And you could imagine that from the user's point of view, to, you know, whether you are a paratransit rider or a microtransit rider, to see all of the options in one place and to have access to the option that makes the most sense for you at any given point is very, very convenient. And then, of course, from the city's point of view, to be able to, one, operate all of these systems using one platform, and then two, potentially see synergies in how you utilize a fleet or how you utilize seats in a specific vehicle differently across different times of day, that's a level of flexibility and potentially operational efficiency that just was never available prior. And I think it has the potential to both improve outcomes and save money, which is very exciting.
So you just mentioned paratransit. I guess that also includes wheelchairs. I was just looking on my phone actually here at the center in Berlin for a wheelchair cab or taxi. And it says it takes me around 1 hour planning time for actually book a wheelchair taxi here just on my test. So are your vehicles wheelchair approved?
Yeah, so, you know, we're quite proud, I think, of our track record with barrier free or wheelchair accessible vehicles. You know, in Berlin, where I guess where you are, you know, we launched the Berlkönig service with the BVG in 2018, and we had wheelchair accessible vehicles from the beginning. You know, and the wait times were extraordinarily low. If your point of comparison was even the 1 hour that you just saw, but I think most paratransit riders. The expectation is that you have to plan your trips, you know, potentially days in advance, right? Which is a very different experience of mobility. And we got amazing feedback from riders starting quite early on about how the Berlkönig had transformed their lives, right? They could now take a trip in 15 minutes. They didn't have to plan ahead to go to the grocery store a full day. We you know, won the Federal Inclusion Award in Germany, which I think we're very proud of, and yeah. It shouldn't be the gold standard. It should be the basic standard.
So, Chris, we're almost close to the end. So we learned a lot today, actually, not only about John Williams. No, but that's like maybe he could come. Maybe he could write the melody for the super app. No, but just kidding. But are there any specific partnership projects, either existing or upcoming, that you're personally and not John Williams are very excited about?
So obviously I'm excited about all of our projects, but I think one from the last couple of months that we've launched that I think is a pretty nice example of tying a number of these concepts together is in Milton Keynes in the UK. It's a city about an hour north of London, 200,000 people, a very interesting design, more or less for the car as opposed to for public transport. But there's a bus network in Milton Keynes, which in the center parts of the city have always, you know, been quite efficient and quite well utilized. COVID obviously was a challenge, but in the outer parts of the city, the bus network was both quite expensive for the city to operate and also did not provide great service, that the wait times were about an hour on average. So we worked with Milton Keynes over the last, year or so to help them do a complete network redesign, a sort of holistic design for how would a next generation network work? Where would it make sense to run fixed routes? Where could on demand take the place of the outer borough areas of Milton Keynes, and how would we connect those efficiently? And so in April we launched a service which is utilizes electric vehicles and increasingly more and more is on demand and provides a very, very high quality of service to riders in these outer areas of the city. It connects seamlessly to the fixed route network in the center of the city using real-time data and, in fact, offering riders to take the fixed route using, you know, the app will allow you to plan your journey, but it will tell you which kind of journey makes the most sense for you, given where you are, where you want to travel, what time it is, et cetera. Sometimes that's on demand. Sometimes that's the fixed route network. And you know, on top of all of that, saves the city a huge amount of money. So it's The system costs about half as much to operate as it did prior, and riders have their wait times cut in half. So those are the kinds of results that I would say are fairly uncommon when you're doing a network planning exercise, and are very exciting. Yeah. So it's, I think it's a really nice one example of kind of the potential for this technology to have real impacts both for individual riders and for cities. I'm pretty inspired by that work.
So, dear audience, you just learned that Chris from VIA is, or let's say, he's not only inspired, he got so many interesting projects actually to talk about. And we're really looking forward to welcome you on our new theme subject area, Mobility Plus at the next InnoTrans. Thank you, Chris, actually, for telling us all about, I would say, the new way of using mobility.
It's a pleasure, Tim. I can't wait to do it in person next year. It seems like a long time to wait, no?
It does, but you know, there's so many progress actually always in line. So I don't know, maybe you got that one super app and John Williams will be there at InnoTrans. Maybe he's listening right now. In case he does, he will make a smooth melody. And
I hope so.
The InnoTrans podcast will be back at the 14th of September. Stay tuned. We will hear again. And thanks for tuning in. Bye.